We worship you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. Hallelujah. Just a little bit more. Will you just lift up those hands? At least, as Dave used to say, about half mask, and just praise and glorify him. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Things happen in your presence, Lord. Things happen in your presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I glorify you. As you're standing there worshiping the Lord, I just got to read this to you. You know, last Sunday, if I can find it here soon enough, and be patient with me for just a second. I have to go to my texting. You'll love to hear this. This comes from last Sunday before I took the pulpit. I want you to understand that in His presence and as we worship the Lord, things begin to happen, and they happen instantaneously because our God is real. Would you say, my God is real? Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. At 8:14 last Sunday morning, when I just before I, you know, come over here, and I know he knows that I'm going to do this because I sent him my notes, and I told him I would as well. But it's all to the glory of God. This is a family member. I say a family member, a church member, and they are family. Nigel Winter and Evangeline, and they live in New Jersey. And he sent me this last Sunday. He says, we have a prayer request. We found out last night that our sister-in-law, Lilia Van Pelt, in Atlanta area, was hospitalized and is on life support. That's how bad it was. She was admitted on Friday with a high fever, and the doctors thought there might have been a blood clot, but they couldn't find it. Her condition worsened. And yesterday, and she is now on a respirator. She had a kidney transplant about 5 years ago, and there is an infection too. Please pray with Evangeline for a creative miracle in her kidneys and total healing and restoration. That was at 8:14. We got here and we prayed. She's on life support, okay? And then we sent this out this week. I don't know how many of you got it, but there's another text past this, and I want you to hear it as well. So at 10:50, I got this. Of course, I was in service, but same day, 23rd, and at 10:50, while we're in service, she said, "No." He said, "No more than 15 minutes after you prayed." That's all of us praying, and we released the power of God towards her. Right after everyone in the sanctuary were greeting each other, we got a call from her husband, Evangeline's brother. She's off the respirator. That quickly, and she's responding to treatment. He said, "Hallelujah, thanks for your prayers, and we will see this all the way through to full restoration." And he asked me to share this with the PC family, and so I got this yesterday in the afternoon. He says he had wished Candy and I a happy Thanksgiving. Hope we had one. And here's the update on Lilia. He said this, we FaceTimed her on Friday night, and she's out of ICU and in her room resting, and she's recuperating. We shared with her about all the folks that have been praying for her, and she extends her gratitude. Thanks for praying as we get closer to full recovery. She went from life support. Now she's responding and talking off the respirator, and she went from that in about 15 minutes after we prayed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And, of course, there has been a progression throughout the week, but there was an instantaneous. I like instantaneous, don't you? Amen. Progression will receive, but instantaneous is better. Hallelujah. That's the results that the Lamb of God had. Also, I got a email this week. You know, we prayed for a young lady in Germany. I don't have her daughter's name. I wouldn't share it probably, but the lady's name is Annie, first name. She said, "My daughter is under terrible oppression." Basically, I'm paraphrasing, very oppressed. She knows the Lord, but she's seeking help, psychiatric help. She said, after we prayed, she sent an email. She said, after we prayed, something lifted. Hallelujah. She's in better spirits, she said, and something lifted. And she said she's beginning to eat again. Her appetite has come back. You know, an appetite's a healthy thing. And she said something happened, and she wanted to thank the church. Hallelujah. There's power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's power in Jesus' name. Would you stand on your feet and just say, thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. See, if he cares about them, he cares about you. God is no respecter of persons. And he's got something for you today. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We magnify you. King of kings and Lord of lords. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, Marty, can you give us something kind of upbeat? And why don't you greet one another and say hello, and we'll be right back. And we're coming through the camera to get a hug. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Miss Barbara, we're so glad you're back. Hallelujah. Amen. It's wonderful. And appreciate all. What a wonderful crowd, considering we have so many. Robert and Bailey gave birth to Charlie. Charlie, hallelujah. Yesterday evening. And Charlie is here. Hallelujah. 7:13, I believe. Not the time, wait. So, hallelujah. Pretty good size. We're glad Charlie's here. And we're going to grow this church one way or the other. Hallelujah. You young couples, you know, the Lord said be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we appreciate all of you being here. The 19th, Friday the 19th. I hope you've signed up for it. The list is no longer available. Everybody, we want everybody that's part of the church to be here. There's no cost, although we're asking. It's a $20, it's for us, it's $20, and they're really giving us a great deal. And I'm just going to mention that. It's a $20 a plate, but I don't know if any of you go out at all. I mean, everybody in here does. You can't go to McDonald's for $20. You really can't. You can't go feed yourself and hardly your kids for, you know, less than $60 or something like that. You're going to be able to eat all you want and dessert and everything. So there's, again, I'd say there's no cost. But if you'd like to and if you can, it'd be great if you could donate. Whatever you can donate is great. And if you want to sponsor somebody, you say, you don't have to put their name down, but you think, you know, I can take care of myself and probably a couple more people, because some people can't. But if you can help out, we appreciate some have already helped out, and we appreciate you helping out. It'd be your part in giving a Christmas gift, really, to someone. It's going to be a nice Christmas meal Friday the 19th at 7 p.m. And, hallelujah. I hope you're all here. Miss Gay is not here this evening or this morning, but she every year puts on something that's called a gift exchange. It's not a real gift. It's more of a fun gift. It's no more than $5, but it's something to play. It's a game that we'll play probably at the banquet. So hallelujah. Enough of announcements. Praise the Lord. Miracles are all over the place. Hallelujah. I sense miracles every day. I think things are starting to, we always say this, things are starting to amp up, ramp up. But I can tell you that in the spirit, I see something that I know is so available and it's so real, and we're about to pass into it. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. In just a moment, we're going to give our kids the opportunity to be dismissed, go next door. We're going to have communion. We sent out a group text yesterday saying that we would have that. And there was a lady that passed. Josie, you said?
Josiah.
Josie. Allah? Mayala? Okay. That Josie. I'm sorry. And she was a teacher here?
She was a tutor at the high school.
There's a request that for more than 40 years. God bless her. So we're so glad that that she's with, is she, obvious, was she born again? I should say. She's not sure. We pray, but she passed. We pray for the family. There was a request that we pray for the family. So remember that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for all your giving. We appreciate it each week. And we thank you for being sensitive. And we don't spend a lot of time. This is about as much time unless the Lord gives us an exhortation. We're going to get ready to go into communion in a little bit. But if you have something to bring this morning, we're going to stand, greet somebody next to you. Don't get too involved. And let our kids be dismissed. We appreciate all of you that are with us online. Get ready to receive this morning. We're going to share a little bit in the Word, go a little bit different direction this morning, preparing ourselves for communion. And then we'll have communion together at the close of this service. So let's all stand. Hallelujah. And Marty is doing an excellent job with what he has to work with. He's got all these things back there trying to figure out. And hallelujah. So glory. If you have something, bring it down. Our kids can be being dismissed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You only know I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Where would I be?
Yourself and with the Lord, just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
If not for grace,
hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus.
You only know,
Jesus.
I'm glad you see,
yes, Lord,
through eyes of love,
yes, Jesus.
A whole
by you. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to prepare ourselves for communion this morning.
We give ourselves over to you, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus, the broken body of Christ. Salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's our heart's desire that not only do we teach the Word of God here, but give access to people being born again, often as the Holy Spirit leads us, and then often for people to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Power begins by being filled with the Spirit and praying in other tongues. You're not a second-class citizen of heaven if you're not filled with the Spirit. But there's something so much more. There's something so much more. And I'm asking you, we don't do this every service, but I continue to ask you as the body of Christ, to the men and women here that are filled with the Spirit, pray in tongues often. Continue to give yourself over. Continue. You'll have to, once you come to a place where you develop a habit, once there is a, I'll use this word, a neural pathway in the brain that reminds you, even when you're not reminded. It's like a groove that the Holy Spirit will groove in your brain. It's like a neuron pathway. It's you can call it a dendrite. If you'll get used to it and you'll get accustomed to it, you can pray in the Spirit all day long. You can pray in the Spirit while you're driving, while you're working, while you're on the computer, while you're doing other things. I think it makes you much more intelligent. I'm standing here because of praying in the Spirit. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Pray in the Spirit. And then you'll find yourself in those alone times where you get intimacy with God. And you also understand this, that worship, giving adoration, what is private worship? It's just giving adoration. It's talking to God intimately, sharing your heart, adoring Him. If you don't know words to say, there's a number of words that the angels use in the first few books of the book of Revelation. I believe it's chapter 4 and 5. They speak and they begin to say, glory, glory, honor, majesty, over and over again to the Holy, to God that's on the throne. And while you're in the presence of God and as you're giving yourself over, you'll find that He begins to correspond with you. Don't just talk to God. Listen. Listen. He's a whisperer. He's a talker. The more you get to know Him, He talks really quite a bit, but not in an annoying sense. Some people will talk over you. He won't talk over you. He will talk with you. And intimacy brings atmosphere, and atmosphere is conducive to confidence, and confidence brings, I hear you, Holy Spirit. And He will talk to all of you. All of the problems in your life, everyone in here, no matter who you are, even if it's physical, will be walked out even before the great demonstrations of revival with an intimacy by the Holy Spirit. If you will spend time with Him, He will not only show you how to walk it out, He'll give you the formula, not a man-made formula, but He gives you a formula of how to believe that He is so real, and then you begin to believe His scriptures that are real. Once the scriptures, and I hope you brought your Bible today because it is so precious to all of us, once the scriptures go from ink on paper to ink in your heart, and you begin to believe them, then things start happening. You'll find that things really begin to develop and they start happening. Again, these are only teasers. We never want anybody to come in here and feel like, well, I'm not there. Pastor, I'm not where you're at. Please, he's saying to all of us, come up higher. Amen. None of us have arrived. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If we give calls for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, please, make yourself available to that. Everybody that comes, and I say this in a sense of not arrogancy, but in humility, everybody that stands in these altars, they all get filled by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to develop something in each and every one of you, and that's a prelude. And I don't know, it really has nothing to do with the message this morning, but It has everything to do with where he's taking this church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're only going to pick out, we got quite a few scriptures here, and I'll need to stay with my notes somewhat because we really want to get to communion in just a little bit. But turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. I'm going to share some scripture, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase things to get you up to speed so we don't have to share all of this chapter. And then we've got a number of verses in John chapter 6 that we want to get to. The title of today's message is Communion, Communion and Your Personalized, Your True Manna. Hallelujah. This is a little bit unusual approach that we've had in the past to getting to a place of where we're ready to take communion. Hallelujah. Find if I could get me a handkerchief out of the office, would you please? Thank you. Exodus chapter 16. And let me just talk to you just for a moment about where we're at. We're gonna start in verse 14. And then we're going to read verse 14 and 15 and explain some things about manna. But here we see that this is the first appearance of the word manna, as far as I know. And it's also an explanation for what manna is. And then we're going to tie that into taking communion together this morning. As you begin this chapter, you find out that Moses has taken and led the Jews out of the land of Egypt. And they're a poor bunch of complainers, and they don't get too far into their being exiled or freed before they're really extremely complaining about, we wish we were back. You know, this is terrible. We don't have any meat to eat, and, you know, the food, who's going to supply and meet our needs? And they're complaining. And in essence, they're saying, we wish we were back in Egypt. Would to God we'd have died there. Would to God, the chapter starts out by them saying, we just would to God that we would have just stayed in Egypt. Oh, yeah, slavery was fun. Absolutely not. But they were so filled with an without gratitude, before God, they said, we wish we were back at the flesh pots of Egypt, what was doled out to us, and we were able to eat. God hears this long enough, and then he tells Moses that he's going to, the next day, and we're not getting into all that, but he's going to send meat, which was quail, and then he's also going to send bread, which was the manna. And we pick it up in verse 14 after these Jews had sorely been complaining. And we see a progression here that's taking place from them complaining. God says, gives them a promise. He's not happy with them at all. But in verse 14, it says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it's manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. He said, he called it a bread. And they said, it's manna. Well, the word manna really in Hebrew really is, what is it? That's really what it means. In other words, they were like, what is this? It doesn't have a special meaning except that it means they were all saying, what is this manna? This is manna. What is this? And so they were asking the question, what is it? And the Jews, in verse 31, we're going to skip on down. They were asking the question, what is this? And the house of Israel, in verse 31, 16:31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like, Moses describes this in his writings, coriander seed, white, and the taste was like wafers made with honey. Now, if you read this chapter, this is the first time some scholars say there is maybe as many as 3 million of these Jewish people. They're all out in the wilderness, incredible encampment. They camped by the 12 tribes. And the Lord began to supply on a daily basis. And you've got to understand that this manna lasted for 40 years. It was, and Moses called it the bread from God. He called it the bread from the bread which the Lord giveth you to eat. They said, what is it? They called it manna. And it could be in this chapter, just for interesting observation, it could be cooked. It wasn't that they had to eat it raw. They could stew it. They could, I think, broil it. There was a number of ways that you could fix it. And so they had a ready-made meal, but they also had to do something with it. They had to gather it. They had to prepare it. They had to fix it. I don't think they chipped up bacon bits in it, but they definitely had to, they could prepare it. Verse 32 says this, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill up an omer. I'm not sure. I think that's about 2 quarts. It's a little decent size of it to be kept for generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Now, just let me stop there, and I'll read verse 35 in a moment. So the Lord, this was interesting. This is amazing. There was a number of things in the Ark of the Covenant that the Lord had them build. And one was the tablets, which Moses brought back with the Ten Commandments. And the tablets of the Ten Commandments were laid in the Ark of the Covenant. And there's such an incredible study. If we studied the Ark of the Covenant and the presence, the presence of God was on the Ark of the Covenant because it was in the Holies of Holies. Another something that was in the Ark was Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron, the high priest, Moses' brother, had a rod, and it actually budded. A dead stick, what would be a dead stick, actually it was an almond rod. It was fashioned out of an almond tree, and it actually sprouted to show that there was life in this thing. And it was the life of God. Obviously, it was a symbolization of the life of God. It was placed in there. Also, this omer, or this jar, this golden, it says in another place, this golden jar was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, and in it was manna. It was placed in there. It was a testimony. And it was placed in there. Now, this is amazing part, too. This is also supernatural, as well as Moses, or as well as Aaron's rod, was that it stayed fresh. It stayed in the jar for 40 years plus. There's a rod in there that's a dead stick that's got all these blossoms and blooms on it. Nobody's fertilizing it. Nobody's watering it. Only the high priest is ever seeing it, probably, because he once a year goes in there. And then in this pot is this manna that was to be shared as far as the testimony of it. Life is in this jar. Life is in this pot. And Moses would send Aaron in there, and so it lasted for at least 40 years. They tell us by the word and by description why. By the time Solomon came along and he built the temple and the ark was brought back, David brought back the ark, all that was left in the articles of the ark really was the tablets. They don't know what happened to the rod, Aaron's rod, or the jar of manna. Whatever happened to it. But amazing enough, for all those years, it was in the ark and it was alive. And the Bible says in verse 35 that the children of Israel did eat manna for 40 years until they came to a land, to a land inhabited. And they did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. So the manna stopped. Gary's got some incredible teachings on the manna, the lessons from the manna. Moses commanded, and as I already said this, that a jar or pot of manna be put in the ark and the covenant as a testimony for future generations. And it lasted all those generations. But Moses said to the people, he said, this is the bread. This is the bread that God gives you to eat. And I'll already go ahead just a little bit in some of our, before we get to our scriptures here. But what would you suppose, what or who would you suppose that the bread that was in the ark testified of? Can somebody, come on. Is it hard enough to say Jesus? Hallelujah. The manna in the wilderness not only was a question of what is it, but here's most important. Not only did they say, what is this? But then it began to exemplify what it was. For 40 years, this bread sustained them physically. For 40 years, 3 million Jews. I'm going to say 3 million. I might be wrong. Let's just say 3 million just so it's easy for me to remember. For 40 years, 3 million, as they died out and were replenished, this bread that God gave, now we're going to make a distinction here in a few minutes, this bread that came down, it sustained them. It not only was what is it, but then it became whatever. Whatever what? Whatever they needed for sustenance. Whatever their bodies needed to replenish itself. Whatever they needed to continue to be replenished physically. Whatever ailments would come against them. You talk about nutrition. Nutrition that comes from angel food is probably the best nutritional things that you could possibly eat, no doubt. But it was not only manna of what is it, but then it became by example for them for 40 years. They ate this manna and it was a substance to them. It was enough for them to continue their journey on towards the promise. Hallelujah. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. The bread that meets every physical need was a nutritional need that met nutritional needs of Jews that would, it became the whatever they needed bread for sustaining every physical need. Now, turn with me to John chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is alive. He is our living bread. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 6. Now let me give. Sure.
If Jesus wasn't alive, I don't think I'd be here.
Absolutely. Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord. He's got a testimony like Homer. Homer says he'd be doing something. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are glad that Jesus is alive in your life? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We receive that, Lord. So here we are in John chapter 6, and Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And we're coming into a discussion or something that he's going to begin to teach. And the Jews that were the religious Jews were there, and they begin to have contention with Jesus. And we're going to look this up. Let's skip on down. I'm going to skip a bunch of this and go to verse 24. And there's quite a bit of reading here, but we're going to get to something here that we need to look at. And then take communion in faith. Hallelujah. Verse 24 says this. When the people saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Because he actually, that's when he walked across. And so they were kind of bumfuzzled. They're like, how did he get over here? And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither or hither? And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, that is to say, truly, if you see this in the King James, it means an expression of truly, I mean, with all truth. I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, because this was the crowd that had just been fed, some of the 5,000 that had just been fed, but because you eat the loaves and were filled. Jesus said this, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you,
for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him that he hath sent. One work, not numerous works, one work, that you believe on him. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now here we go back in reference. Remember, we just went through Exodus 16. They gave reference to what we just read out of Exodus 16. Our fathers, they were very proud about it, did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And they said, they quoted, it is written, he gave, and that's what Moses said, God has given you bread. Then Jesus said in reply to them, verse 32, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not, he just plain out disputes, not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Everybody say, Jesus is the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Hallelujah. Then said they unto him, Evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I, look at this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save or except he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And he reiterates again, and he says, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. When he said they are dead, he's talking about, obviously, they knew that they had been deceased for 2,000 years. He's saying they are spiritually dead. They died spiritually dead, except if they were believing in the coming Christ, they were saved, partially saved alive. And that's another place we won't go this morning. They were held in paradise. But Jesus wasn't making an announcement. He was saying to them, he's saying, you believe by some virtue that God fed you, that you have some kind of bragging rights. But he said, that wasn't the bread of life. That wasn't the true bread. It was put in an ark to remind the generations to come, another living testimony, there is a bread of life that is coming. And all that partake of this bread of life, my Father will turn none away. All that ever come before me and eat of me, this true bread of life, I'm the omer of manna
typified in the Old Testament, set in the ark. And now I am the living ark among you, because soon the veil is going to be rent and all of you are going to be called high priest unto the Lord. You're all going to be able to go in there. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this. He said, your fathers did eat man in the wilderness, and they're dead. Not just physically dead, they're spiritually dead. They didn't receive life from that manna. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And he's not talking about physical longevity. He's talking about spiritual longevity, spiritual life. Jesus said in verse 51, I am, once again he reiterates, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my, and he explains this. This is why it's so amazing that these Jews were so offended by what he was saying, because he explains. He doesn't just leave it in an ambiguous manner, as if he was saying, I want you to physically eat my flesh. But he explains, he says this again, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my, flesh, and that which I give for the life of this world. And he says, and the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh? And this is where Jesus begins to explain. And this is where Jesus introduces the coming communion that we're going to take this morning together. In verse 53, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last day. For this is, and I skipped ahead a moment ago. Excuse me. This is the verse I really wanted to say this, that Jesus explains himself. For my flesh is meat. In other words, it's an article. It's not me. It's meat indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. He totally explains it. In other words, it's the fruit of the vine. It's a symbolic. You're not going to cannibalize me, but you're going to eat of a drink, and you're going to eat of something that is meat or symbolizes me. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread, he identifies. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth this bread shall live forever. Can you say, Jesus, I'm thankful that I live forever. I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught the in Capernaum. Let's finish this up and take communion. Jesus was the bread in the ark. Can you see that? He was the true. He was a symbolic. That was just something symbolizing his coming. And then he was manifested in the flesh as the true bread of heaven. Jesus has become, listen, here's our manna. Jesus has become to us the whatever bread. Hallelujah. This morning, I pray that everyone participates. There's only one prerequisite. What's the prerequisite? There's only one requirement to receiving this. You don't have to join the church. You must be born again.
Yes, amen.
You must be born again. You must receive Christ. Because you're going to eat of his flesh, you're going to drink of his blood, and you're going to receive it as life from the dead. And every time that we partake of it, we don't get saved over and over again. But we participate in the death, burial, and resurrection that Jesus has provided for us. Hallelujah. And every time that we do that, we believe that he is the living whatsoever bread for us. Whatsoever what? What do you need? What do you need? The coming revival and those that are part of that coming revival will be those that will, we've taught many times before, will not just walk in the gifts of the Spirit where as He wills, but the full expression of the love of God will open us up to a room that allows us to exemplify, can I use that word, to give out the bread almost on a willful basis. That's those that are coming and are coming to us at midnight and saying, I'm in the midnight of my life. Can you help me out? Right now, we're in a process where we're saying to you, fast, pray, seek the Lord. Help us usher in this coming revival. Because the bread that is in you, the bread that we're participating with this morning and drinking the cup and saying, Lord, this is your, or eating the bread, this is your body, which was broken for me personally. This is your blood. One day that's going to mature, that bread inside of us. Now we're combining the concept of communion mostly on the bread this morning. But one day, and that day is now, you're going to lay hands on the sick and see instantaneous recoveries. How many enjoy the testimony that we read this morning? Hallelujah. This is only just a tiny snippet. What is he in whatsoever to you this morning? Is he whatsoever deliverance, healing, restoration, whatsoever you need, finances? But I can tell you this, all of this comes through relationship, fellowship, more than anything else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. They put the omer of bread that Moses said, this is bread. But Jesus said, it was bread, but it was not the bread from heaven. I am the bread from heaven. This morning we get to participate in eating, remembering and saying, Lord, that bread is in me. That life is in me. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says that, or 4, I believe it's 7, it's in 4. It says that we have this treasure. What treasure? In earthen vessels. We've got in this clay pot, the omer of bread is inside of us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hello, revivalist. Hello, those that will walk and talk and receive the power of God through communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give God the glory for his word. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus. Let me just read this one part as instruction, as Paul said, and then we'll take communion together. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily eateth, as shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning what? The Lord's body, that he's the bread, and that he was broken. His body was broken for us. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, he says, my brethren, when you come together, eat, together to eat, that is to take communion, tarry for one another. So this morning, as we receive this communion in just the next few moments, and so Ralph and Mike, you guys can get ready to bring this forward, and you guys can move the pulpit for me in just a moment. Take communion at home often for yourself. You don't have to do it at church. Remind yourself, especially when you're going through something, physically, emotionally, financially, relationship-wise, that everything that is in the blood and everything that is in the broken body has become the whatsoever bread for you. It is the provision for you. It's the direction for you. It's the healing for you. He's the manifester. And I would encourage you to take it often. As Paul concludes this chapter, he says this, let a man examine himself. Just go before the Lord and say, Lord, and I often do this, say, Lord, just purge me of anything that's not completely right. If there's anything there, wash me, cleanse me. And Father, I thank you that Jesus' body was broken for me. Hallelujah. And all provision is it. My, you're quiet this morning. You must be listening to the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Marty, if you can give us something. Hallelujah. You guys can move this somewhere, and you guys go ahead. Hallelujah. Yeah, that'll be great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Marty's doing a wonderful job. We'd usually have Harry singing, oh, the blood of Jesus or something, but we've got everything we need this morning. Why don't you begin to step out, take an element, and receive it. We'll all receive it together in just a few moments. Hallelujah. And I hope you at home are ready to receive. Would you take the bread in your hand, and those of you who are watching. Lord, we remember that there was bread that fell in the wilderness for the children of Israel that sustained them. But you told the Jews that this was not the true bread, but that your body was the true bread. You were the true bread that came down. And that if any man would eat of you, that he would have eternal life. Any man that would eat your body and drink your blood symbolically would have eternal life. Jesus, we take the bread. We thank you that your body was broken for us. It was striped for us. The healing of our bodies. The restoration of every marriage. The restoration of all minds, emotions. All things were given through the broken body of Christ. Lord, we consider, we don't eat unworthily, but we consider and say, Lord, this is the worth. This is worth the true bread, your life. This is symbolic of your life in us. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that bread lives in us, your life. And we eat it, Lord, with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said, after the same manner he saw, the Lord said to him, he took the cup and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you just show the Lord's death till he come. Lord, we receive your blood. Remembering, according to Luke's gospel, that the first drops of blood that you shed was in the garden. An intense warfare against sin. We thank you that your mind, your cranial area, shed blood for the peace of all mankind emotionally. And the stripes that, Lord, were placed upon you, the crown of thorns, the spear in the side, the nails and feet and hands, Jesus, all this blood became for me and for all who believe your healing, your restoration. Wash us for anything that is less than the fullness of the image of Christ, and bring us into a more perfect place. We love you, Jesus. We receive of your blood, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let's receive now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for just for a moment. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Begin to just open up your heart. Speak with your mouth. Come on, you've got to open up some volume here. Hallelujah. Very quiet. I know you're worshiping the Lord, but go ahead and lift your voice. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We worship you. We magnify you. We magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We magnify you. We magnify you. We magnify you, Jesus. We glorify you. Kingdom of God, come. We bless, Lord, your people this morning. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you say this with me? I say that I have received the true bread that came down from heaven. Christ in my life. The fullness. He is the whatsoever bread. He is the I am. He's the I am. He is the I am. Whatever I am is in me. He is the fullness of all things, all truth, all righteousness, all virtue, all healing, all deliverance. I am lives in me. The whatsoever bread lives in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you. We appreciate you. We will see you Wednesday night. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless.